This is the August 31 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include from AgMarket.net, Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson. We're also joined by Josh Linville. He is from StoneX, and Joanna Calusia is here from the University of Illinois, along with Colin Waters from the Illinois Corn Growers Association. This edition of Commodity Week comes to you from the University of Illinois tent on the Farm Progress Show site. It was a fantastic 3 days. If you were not able to make it this year, come back and see us. We'll be right in the same place in 2025, just to the right of the main gates, and take a walk for about two blocks. Let's begin our discussion, Kurt Kimmel, by talking about what happened this week. To be quite honest, I was so busy at the Farm Progress Show that I really didn't get a chance to see much as it related to how the market moved during the week. You were, I hope, in the office some and able to follow things. What took place?
Well, we started out the week with a bang. In fact, we gapped higher in soybeans, and we saw some optimism from the forecast. It's just dry, dry, dry. And even though we're going to see some short-term heat next week, the market kind of put that into its place. Then as the week moved on, we basically came in and saw just a little bit of a disappointing demand picture. We did see some daily sales to beans. We did see some daily sales of corn. Now, all of a sudden, as we kind of get towards the end of the weekend here, the weekly export sales report was pretty good for corn, but beans was disappointing. The other thing is, I don't know if Dave Chatterton will ever believe it, but we had a blue moon, a full moon, and usually you put highs in during that time window. But that full moon, blue moon, probably changed the American model. It did put a little bit more moisture in the forecast as we look 10 days out. That's a long ways out, and we'll see what this forecast brings. But hopefully it won't go much lower here on the futures, because if we do close lower, it's just not going to look too constructive on the price charts.
Wayne Nelson, I know you probably had a chance to talk to a few farmers about what their yields might be like based on the heat from last week, the heat potentially from this week. You and I took a look at some numbers that were coming out of Champaign County, which had a drought last year and yielded really well. Those numbers all had a two in front of them again this fall.
They sure did, Todd, and what a surprise that was. You know, because a lot of the farmers that we talked to all through the year really felt that the early dryness, the early stress would take another 10 or 15 bushels off, and they were probably looking at no better than a 190 crop. But as we look at these crop tours and at what's going on out there, those rains come just at the right time, and boy, did a lot of the areas, especially in Indiana, got a lot of rain, and it really, really pushed things along. Now, we have seen last week, the drought areas, the heat, that over 100 degree heat has really pushed the maturity way, way ahead here. And we're seeing some of the stalks start to dry out, some of the ears to break and bend over. And we're wondering, you know, how will the test weight be? These early yields that we're talking about, if they are not in the stressed areas, I think they're going to be well over 200. But we are looking at some of these fields, and as we really stress and we're looking at over 100 degree temperatures again a week from now, you know, starting in on Monday again, will we see some test weight loss that hasn't been figured into it yet? But all in all, for the way this crop started, unfortunately, it still looks like close to a 15 billion bushel crop.
Right. So I wanted to know from both you and Kurt what you think yield will be, how much acreage might change, if at all, and then what that means to the bottom line. Are we still at a 2.2 billion bushel carryout for corn when the USDA releases its crop production numbers in September?
You know, we're not sure what the USDA is going to say. Mike Tuhill was on one of our market meetings that we had this last week, and he's dropped things a couple bushels from where he was. He was at like 174, I think, wasn't it, Kurt? And I think he's down at 170 now, just saying with what's going on all along the way that way. So we're going to go along with him, and I think he's out there looking a lot. There's a lot of anthracnose in a lot of these fields right now, the ones that did not spray the fungicide along the way. And we don't know how that's going to affect things. But with the added heat coming in for next week, another, you know, 90 to 100 degree days again, and no rain in the forecast for at least 10 days out there of any amount, other than unless you're down in Florida or the East Coast, which is not a corn-growing area. So, you know, like I say, we are hoping when it's all said and done, we're at 15 or below on the total production.
It's a tough one in through here, but I agree. I think we're probably closer to this 172 as a nation. Bean-wise, you can probably shave a half bushel off it. The thing about everybody's looking, well, my corn's made it. Well, it's not made it until it's black layered. It still uses some moisture, and that moisture's not there. And I think it's getting dinged a little bit more than what people think. The satellite imagery, don't take that up because it's green. It looks good, but you got to actually pull back shucks. When you talk to producers, they'll tell you, I've got 160, 180 here, and I've got 240 over there. When you average that up, that doesn't spell trend line yields to me.
So where do you think we'll be then?
Well,
if not trend line yield, which is 181.5, thank you very much, but where do you think we will be?
Well, most analysts give three estimates, what they think the USDA is going to be in September, what I think it's going to be in September, then what the final is. But I believe that the yield's closer to this 173, 174 right now. Beans, I think, we're probably at 50.
All right. Those who want to, and I guess I will join this just for corn. I don't really like to give a bean number because I just never have a good handle on it. What do you think the final in January for corn and soybeans will be?
Well, it won't be over in January. They're going to keep moving this around until September. But I will give you a tour update, though. There's been dramatic yield loss between Champaign and Springfield because this guy stopped in every field and took a bunch of ears out. So those fields are going to be crop insurance adjusted, I think.
And Google did not track where I was. Do you have a number? I will give you my number. I think USDA at 175 at the moment may stay at 175 in September. I think by the time we get to the final, the trend will be higher and they will be back at 177.
I'm going to also say the way the crop ratings come out this last Monday, they did not drop the amount that they thought they were going to or what the trade thought they were going to. They dropped, you know, 1% in beans and 2% in corn. And I think along the way this week, as we finish up nice and cool today, coming in here again, they're going to be out there before it gets too hot again. I don't think they're going to drop the estimates for this week. And so I think as we're pushed into it, I think they're going to stay pretty much where they're at as far as the government report goes. I really do.
I saw that in our audience. Russ Higgins, and you're a trained agronomist, correct? Is that right? He is. Russ laughed at me at 177. He's well below that. I'm guessing you're at 173. Are you down that low? Oh, you're at 172. So there's a wide range. Let's see, 172 and 177. So we're somewhere in the middle. What's that, 170, what, 4.5 or something like that? So we'll see where. 175, how about that? Where we are now might just work. We'll continue on. Let's talk about some of the other side of this. I'd like to bring Colin Waters from the Illinois Corn Growers Association into this conversation just a little bit. Colin, you and I talked earlier in this week, and you were discussing in your expertise areas, which include logistics and exports, demand not being particularly good and not being particularly hopeful, I think, for corn.
Yeah, that's right. So we've basically seen over the last year, USDA trimmed its expected export program from about 62 million metric tons this time last year to wherever we are now, which is like 40. I mean, I think we'll be lucky to get to 40 million tons. And I do think going forward, I do have concerns, particularly in China, as the Chinese economy appears to keep slowing down, absent any sort of real significant stimulus in China, I think that we could potentially see some problems there. Honestly, the Brazilian crop has been so big, but they've been having trouble getting it to the port now. So we actually have been have seen U.S. Gulf origin now competitive with South American origins. So hopefully we'll see a few more flash sales coming soon. But I don't know. I like to be an optimist, but I'm feeling a little bit pessimistic right now.
Joanna Calusi from the University of Illinois is here. She specializes in South America and following those crops. Thank you for being with us. She's part of the Farm Doc team, the agricultural economist on campus at the U of I. You have some numbers from Brazil and the size of the, I don't know whether it's the size of the total corn crop or just the safrinha crop, but how big is that crop and when does it come to the export market?
Hi, so Brazil's 2023 total corn output at nearly 130 million metric tons, 130 million metric tons, the highest ever, and exports reaching 50 million metric tons for the first time. For more than half a century, U.S. Farmers dominated the international market of the corn. In the agriculture year ending today, August 31st, the U.S. handed the corn exporting crop to Brazil, and it might never get it back. We don't know, actually. In the 2023 harvest year, the U.S. will account for about 23% of global corn exports, well below Brazil 32%, according to the data from the USDA. Just to highlight, like Colin said, the supply deal with China announced the last year suggests Brazil may be opening a longer area of supremacy over U.S. corn exports. Major new investments in Brazil have begun to ease several choke points and bringing down logistic costs that Brazil had for many, many years. Northern exports routes, in particular, have helped from a 2013 law to encourage grain traders such as Bunge, Cargill, and other companies to build out new private-use port terminals. So the new export capacity has helped grains shipped from Brazil's northern ports to compete on logistic costs with U.S. farms.
Again, I'm going to say I think farmers in the United States will raise 177 bushel the acre, and we're going to have more corn acres, and we'll be number one again as the price goes lower. But hey, we'll see how that turns out. Josh Linville, we probably ought to talk a little bit with you from StoneX about fertilizer. Recap how rough it was for farmers last summer trying to book fertilizer, the logistical issues they had, and what it feels like coming into this fall.
So the timing as of last year, going into March, April, we set either record high fertilizer prices or very, very near record high prices. And what that meant was there's a ton of price risk in the retail system. There's a ton of risk in the wholesale system, in the distribution system. So if farmers didn't step forward to buy their tons, the distribution system wasn't really willing to step out and put tons in place. And then we started to find out as we got into spring, very, very difficult to get our hands on product. And as we move into the summertime, values continue to fall. And you fast forward to where we are today. The good news is the last 2 to 3 year cycle is done. In my mind, I don't speak for the entire fertilizer market, but when you look at all the black swan events that happened, either realized or unrealized, they're mostly done. And we're back to somewhat historical normal values. What we need to consider going forward is even though the worst of it is behind us, even though the worst of the high prices are behind us, volatility is still very much a thing. Logistics are still very much a thing. And you've got a lot of the distribution system and even the farmers who are very cautious, very worried, very scared of buying at the high and riding that thing lower. So you still got a very, I don't want to say a stagnant, but a very, very cautious system. And this is a system that needs to put tons in place. We can't wait until November 1st, show up on the doorstep and say, hey, I'm ready to buy my stuff. Sorry, I don't have it for you. I'll go get it. It might take a day or two. Might take a week or two.
When do you suppose farmers should think about actually booking their needs for this fall?
I would say the best opportunity for anhydrous is already behind us. We set some very, very good low fall prepaid numbers about a month or so ago when the manufacturers came out with their programs. Since then, they've been moving their values higher, but they are still very, very good. And it's every single way I look at it, it's well priced. Versus urea, it's cheap. Versus UAN, it's cheap. Versus grains, it's a good value. Versus historical values, it's a good value. All of those together continue to paint a picture that Mother Nature allowing us to have a very good run this fall, this should be one of the best fall runs that we've had. So even though we've missed the best opportunity was yesterday. The next best opportunity is today.
Is this in part and parcel the best opportunity being behind us because of the current lower price and the idea of corn, that is, and the idea that the low price of anhydrous or nitrogen will cause farmers to increase their nitrogen pounds per acre?
I am forecasting probably one of the best fall application runs we've had on anhydrous. You talked about the triple digit heat. That is going to speed up the corn. It's going to get it out of the way. The harvest is going to be done so the farmers can get out there. The harvest will be out of the way. The price is still very aggressive, and it should have these farmers saying, you know what, with more normal prices and anhydrous being quote unquote cheap, it's never cheap enough, but it's cheap in comparison to where we've been. I'm going to lean a little bit more into my application. Instead of going, whatever, let's say 150, let's go 170, let's go 180. It's just that little bit of a turn of the dial. Small percentage changes on very, very big numbers are still very big numbers.
Colin Waters, I want to come back to you on logistics, this time around about moving the crop, and two actual things. So I do want to talk about the Mississippi River and its flow to the south. Trent Ford discussed with us earlier in the week that 70% of the water in the Mississippi River south of Cairo actually comes from the Ohio River, so really we have to watch and see what's happening in the eastern Corn Belt to get a good idea. Probably has some impact, and Josh, maybe you can talk about this as well, on things coming up the river, fertilizer in particular, but has an impact on logistics going down the river. And then I want to talk to you about where we put all the corn that will be stored and your concerns about old crop that's still left.
So, yeah, I mean, those low water levels are not helpful for exports for certain. I mean, those barge rates are going to be moving up. But it's also a concern on the input side. There's quite a lot of fertilizer that moves upriver, right? So all of that additional cost gets baked into the entire system. So those are concerns. In terms of stocks, I am a little bit concerned there. Just before, as I was walking up, got a report that they were projecting about a 220. This is another private group that was projecting a 224 average out of McLean County, where we're based out of. That seems very high to me. I think that seems really, really optimistic. But if it's there, we're going to have a much bigger crop than what I think a lot of folks are anticipating. So. It's going to be potentially an issue actually getting it, getting it stored and getting it moved. It'll be tough.
And the issue is complicated by the amount of grain that might be left in the bin on the farm that producers have not moved yet.
Well, yeah, and I'd say that, and I'll have to defer to the more of the market analysts about, you know, farmers selling. But at these prices right now, I don't know that there's that many growers that are really, really excited. We're approaching kind of a break-even point, and cash up in by Bloomington's just over $5, so that you're probably right at that break-even. So I don't know that there's a lot of guys that are really, really excited about 460 or whatever going forward too.
Well, old crop moved into the new crop marketing here right now, seasonally. Traditionally, we do put a little bit of a low in this time, and as we move into the new crop market year, hopefully that's the case. But the producers we visit with, they're not going to sell any corn here. They're going to store it. They sell anything, they'll sell the beans. There was futures up towards $14 this week. They'll move the beans and sell the corn. The mindset is that I've got revenue insurance. I'm pretty well protected somewhat. if it moves on lower and through here. And that's one other strategy we've been looking at, too, as we've moved lower and through here below $5, maybe come in and get a little re-ownership or do some coverage strategies to protect that payment and also give you some courage to move some corn here this fall. I believe the basis is going to be the worst as we go into harvest here, but I think you're going to see a good appreciation in basis going into December. But after the first of the year, I think basis is going to roll pretty good because a lot of producers want income next year, not this year.
I do want to transition to soybeans in just a second, but I want to come back to logistics, the river, and the needs to be able to move fertilizer up that river and how important that is and what times of year it really takes place.
It's obviously incredibly important. Whenever I'm giving presentations and talking about the river systems, the best way to describe it, it's our artery system. Without it, we fail. We don't get the stuff moved. So we need to pay a lot of attention to it. And when you think about it, those north of St. Louis, it is getting to be, you're running out of time. Those barges need to leave the Gulf of Mexico probably middle of October to make their way up into that northern half of the river and make it back south again before the locks and everything shut down for the winter. So we're running out of time, and you talk about these low water patterns, it's something to be concerned with. But I would say I am concerned, but I'm not worried. I think that there's going to be some issues where they're going to lighten the barges. I think there's going to be some restrictions here and there. But when I see what the industry was able to do last year, if you remember how horrible a shape that river system was not quite 12 months ago, we were still able to move product. Those boat captains, the boat crews, dredging operations, Army Corps of Engineers, these guys don't get the credit that they deserve to move that material. Yes, I think there'll be hiccups. We always find a way to persevere. Those crews that know what they're doing, I think they'll work their way through it.
Now let's transition to soybeans as the topic of conversation. Wayne Nelson from AgMarket.net. Can you give me a quick overview of the current price structure within the soybean market?
Well, Todd, first I'm going to do a little rebuttal on that. In Arkansas, right now, you're generally at Memphis, because I was at the Memphis terminal for years. We were generally at 35 over, 40 over for beans. They're 35, 40 under for beans because of the freight rate, because we can't load the barges full. You know, you take 10% off and that freight goes up awful fast. It costs just as much to move a 40% barge as it does clear fuller at 15,000. So that's one of the things that they're looking at. They're looking at a much weaker basis right now. The guys that are hedging down there, they're real happy with their rice right now, and they're not very happy with their beans. The beans right now, we've had seven times in the last about 5 months where we've been above $14. I don't think we closed there today, but we're awful close to it. We've seen that pop back up there again. I think the farmer is going to sell beans. There's three reasons. Number one, it's at a much better price compared to what corn has been through the year. It's up at a level they can make money. And I also look at your interest rates. It's costing you a lot more to hold a bean at 8 to 10% interest than a bushel of beans than it is a bushel of corn. And you're going to be able to do that. You're going to take the money from that, and you're going to pay your loan off or pay your loan down a lot. That's the one thing. The beans are going to hang in there pretty good, and we're going to have our quick shipment bids. We dropped 35 cents on the quick shipment bids yesterday as far as cash beans in our area, because we're looking out there, we're seeing a field here, a field there, a field wherever. There's going to be beans harvested in the next 8, 15 to 16 days. Not everybody running the combine, but there's going to be beans on an early shipment payment going there. And as soon as we get 50% of the combines running, that premium is going to be gone. So I see a really quick shot of early shipment beans. The other thing is the corn is relatively cheap. Remember, we were all thought we could have $6 for corn. Now we're lucky if we're going to get $5 for corn. We're at $4.90. You take 40 cents off that because China's not buying. Boom, I'm putting it in the bin. I'm going to store it. We've got a lot to look at in the corn market, and that depends on how good did the plant react to the above 100-degree weather And how about this next 10 days that we get when it starts warming up again Friday, Saturday, and gets back into that? So I think we're going to sell the beans. I think we're going to get a fairly decent price for them. We've got our crush margin is so good, just so good. We're importing bean oil right now for clean diesel. So that the meal is still it's the heavy thing on it. So, but the farmer is going to sell the beans. He is going to store the corn.
If you're so positive about the bean market at this point, why should the farmer sell the soybean? I know it is because of profit. It's because of profit, I believe, and the lack of profit in corn. Is that where you're aiming?
Okay, that wasn't a market recommendation. That's what I thought would happen. I think that number one, with the interest rates we're looking at, knocking down your interest rates, is going to be a good share. I am going to say, and I would look at it this way, the first part of your bean harvest is going to be good basis levels. Take your first half of your beans and sell them at the good basis levels. Then, second half of the beans, if I have a bin at home that will hold that and whatever, I'm probably going to bin that and keep on that way. You know, like I say, but you have to remember, what size bin do I have out there? You know, if I've got a 100,000, 100, 200,000 bushel bin, I maybe don't have that many beans, and I want to fill whatever bin I have clear full. So when we're looking at that, commercial storage, it's way too high. If you want to, as long as we're looking at it, if you don't have storage at home for your beans, I'm still going to say sell your beans. We've got all sorts of ways of re-owning beans with option levels, with futures, whatever. But I would do that because you can't pay interest and commercial storage on beans and figure you're going to make money. You might make money, but it's a big, big gamble. I think that you're going to see the corn come back a lot more in comparison than what you will the beans.
Joanna Clusi from the University of Illinois. Go through some of the numbers, and I want to know about the size of the bean crop out of Brazil, how it compares to previous years, and then how that relates to the export window for U.S. soybeans.
So Brazilian farmers will start planting their 2023-24 soybean crop season around mid-September, so in 2 weeks in Center West states, including Mato Grosso, Brazil's top grain grower. Brazilian farmers are expected to increase the national soybean planted area by 2% from the last season to 45 million hectares, 111 million acres. Brazil soybeans output could reach 163 million metric tons, up 4% compared to the last previous crop season, when producers' crop season wrapped one estimated 157 million metric tons, which was also a record. It's important to remember that we have El Nino this year, so there is a huge concern related to the El Nino weather pattern, which brings risks to the Center West and Northern farms. For Rio Grande do Sul state, for example, in the south of Brazil, by contrast, El Nino can help producers to recover from the drought-related losses in 2022-2023 crop season. But, I mean, Brazil just is starting its new crop season, and the expectations regarding exports that Brazil will reach a new record if you look in the Chinese demand.
The soybeans are probably the most bullish and most bearish commodity you can see right now. Basically, from a marketing point of view, the bean market's relatively flat. There's not a whole lot of carry. There's carry in the corn market, but that carry is only about what storage is, not interest is. So if you're looking at the cost to carry, we like rolling our December hedges out to March. You can get it out to 17, 18 cents a bushel. But the bean-wise, longer term, you got to be optimistic. This crush margins just continue to hang in there. We ship beans to Europe. We ship bean oil back. It tells me this bean oil demand's still real strong. I think we got to continue to look for that for direction because we're losing export share. I think corn acres are going to be down next year, and I think we will see increase in some bean acres as we move forward. But the bears that tell you there's no demand, and the bears that tell you as we get into this winter here, this bean market's not any good because we're going to have twice as many bushels coming out of Argentina if they get the rain. So there's a lot of dynamics here. The big question is, do I store or do I sell?
We always close our program by asking each of our panelists, and I don't expect this of everybody at the Farm Progress Show, to make a final comment. If you'd like to make a final comment, let me know, and we'll make sure that happens. But I know that Wayne and that Kurt both will be able to do this. And Wayne, I will start with you. What is your final comment as we close out this August 31 edition of Commodity Week?
Well, Todd, it's just about harvest season. And, you know, we look out there and we saw so much machinery, so much big machinery. We encourage all of you to be careful. There's lots of accidents that can happen. There's a lot of bad things. There's a lot of town people that haven't the faintest idea how slow a tractor, semi pulls out of a field, whatever like that. And we just like to wish all of you to have a safe, safe harvest.
Yeah, Wayne, you pretty well summed that up. It's the most exciting time of the year as we get out there and stick the nose in through the field and see what we actually have and say, well, those guys were all wrong. So hopefully I'm wrong and everybody else is wrong. We'll have a lot more bushels to market here as we move forward.
I'd say from a fertilizer perspective, the worst of the last few years are behind us. But that doesn't mean volatility is completely going away. Volatility is still a part of our daily lives. It's going to continue to be. There's two ways we can look at it. It's either a risk or it's an opportunity. Some people see it as a risk that maybe it moves too high, maybe it moves too low. But those present tremendous opportunities. We don't know where flat prices are going to go. We don't know if grain's going up or going down. We don't know if fertilizer is up or down. Look for those relationships. We continue to preach if we lock in an input, sell an output. Lock in the value of it. There's money still to be made in these marketplaces. You've just got to watch for them and look at them the right way.
Just maybe I needed to mention regarding Argentina crop season, just talk about Brazil. But it's important to highlight that Argentina is starting its new season now. And there is an expectation that they can recover from the last drought that will reduce almost 50% of the soybean production in Argentina. Another important factor is the presidential election in Argentina that will happen in October and maybe will bring some change in agriculture area, especially regarding the retenciones, the export tax.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our Farm Progress Show panelists this week. They include Josh Linville, he is with StoneX, Kurt Kimmel of agmarket.net, Joanna Calusi from the University of Illinois, Wayne Nelson of agmarket.net, and Colin Waters of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.